Thank you very much for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And today we welcome back Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer and Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. Really pleased to have Dean Plager back to talk with us about the archaeology and anthropology of Wisconsin as it relates to our native tribes. And I had a great first in the series with him a few weeks back, and he's here for the second. The first, we talked about the first residents in Wisconsin. Today, we're going to zero in on what is called the archaic Indian tradition in Wisconsin from about 8,000 BC to 400 BC. And we certainly invite your questions and comments as we move along today. If you're in no matter where you are in the state, as a matter of fact, you can call us at our 800 number, which is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like to email us, you can do that at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Dean Plager, welcome back.
Welcome, or thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come back and talk about Wisconsin archaeology.
Did you have any reaction to your first program here?
We did. We had quite a number of emails and some follow-up telephone calls. A number of individuals that sent me JPEGs, images of artifacts that they discovered around the state, including a few that were significant that I've passed on to the state archaeologist's office, and some things in our area in Sauk County we'll need to follow up on. But that's one of the great things about this type of format is allows people that have discovered materials to connect with professional archaeologists and for the professional community to learn even more about the prehistory of our region.
Well, last time we talked about the first residents, but now we want to talk about the archaic Indian tradition. How do you define archaic in Wisconsin?
Well, last time, as you mentioned, we focused on Paleo-Indians, and that's an artificial construct or name that's given to the very first, almost the pioneer, so to speak, of Wisconsin.
Right.
And archaic is the term that is conceptualized that refers to the immediate early Holocene, mid-Holocene, end of the Ice Age, up to about 500, 400 BC cultures that were hunter-gatherers. Larger populations on the landscape than the preceding Paleo-Indian tradition, mobile people that moved probably from location to location following seasonal resources as they became available and in high yield. And again, this is pre-bow and arrow technology, pre-mound construction, pre-ceramics, pre-agriculture. So we're still talking about very small populations, particularly as the archaic tradition began. And it's divided into three stages, the early, middle, and late. And these are recognized by formal changes in cultural practices that show up in the archaeological record, changes in weaponry, changes in the types of burials and the patterns that we see as archaeologists that allow us to apply those names. And again, no one called themselves an archaic Indian. It's an artificial construct or a taxon created by archaeologists to make sense of the past.
So what kind of evidence do we have for recognizing that early archaic stage?
Well, it's somewhat of a mystery in our state. When we talked about Paleo-Indian last time, these are a series of cultures, Paleo-Indians, that existed right at the end of the Ice Age in our region. And that transition from the end of the Ice Age, the end of the Pleistocene, to the early Holocene is one where we don't have a lot of archaeology in the state. And it may represent either a potential depopulation or potentially our inability to recognize this transition from Paleo-Indian to early archaic. We do have a few sites from this early 6,000s to 7,000s BC range, one in particular, the Bass site in Grant County that was excavated by UW-Madison's emeritus professor, now emeritus professor of anthropology, Jim Stoltman, in the 70s, where we had a large distribution of lithic stone material of Galena chert, where hunter-gatherers this early archaic stage were there retooling and manufacturing new tools and seemed to be focused on that chert resource, which was critical to manufacture tools and survive in this environment. Other than that site, there are only a handful of others where we have some radiocarbon dates. There's some recent research that's been done in the Door Peninsula connected with highway archaeology by Jim Clark that's going to shed some light on what we know about the northeastern part of the state. But there's a real absence of information of this very earliest part of the stage. Things really pick up in the 4 and 5,000s BC range where we have significant more sites and the first large-scale cemeteries on the landscape that tell us people are staying within a particular region for a longer period of time.
And I wanted to ask you about maybe you could speculate a little bit about what life was like for those early folks. There was before bow and arrow, for example. How did they capture their game and so forth?
Well, again, this is, all of the archaic cultures that we're talking about are post-glacial and into what we call early and middle Holocene, which is the environment that we're or the epoch that we're in today. So we begin to see the appearance of species that we're familiar with. We know from a series of rock shelter sites, overhang sites in the south central and southwestern part of the state that have been excavated, that these people were focused on a variety of resources, but really ate a wider variety of things than Paleo-Indians. We have the first evidence of nut consumption, plant consumption, tools for processing nuts and other plant material. White-tailed deer was a major part of the diet, probably other small game, squirrel, and a variety of small mammals, as well as the first evidence of intensive fishing. And the pattern seems to be, it changes throughout this time period, seems to be people taking advantage of high-yield resources when they're very abundant. For example, acorns, something that most people aren't familiar with eating today. They're very unpleasant if you bite into one. But if they're processed properly, they are a very nutritious food and they can be stored. If you think about when are those available, high yields in the fall where people could gather nuts, store them. You think of certain fish species that are spawning in high frequency at certain times of the year, that people moved to a resource, extracted as much as possible, and then moved within probably a cyclical pattern within a territory to take advantage of those resources as they change throughout the year.
Interesting. Well, we have some callers online. If you'd like to join in, by the way, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Ken in Oshkosh, we'll turn to you now. Ken, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Back in 76, I was doing research in the Revolutionary War, and I came across a reference work which mentioned a expedition sent out by Washington to the West because of the problems he foresaw as possible with the Indians. And they described, in fact, they named it probably as Fond du Lac as the last determinative reference point, a large freshwater lake, but not one of the Great Lakes. And they then headed northwest from that foot of the lake, and they found a group of three-story structures made of wood, a fairly comprehensive city for the time period. And all along the route, they always found everything deserted. In other words, the Indians knew they were coming, and they essentially left the area. But I'm just wondering if the Archaeological Association has ever found anything of that nature in the Berlin area.
Well, this is dealing with much later in time than what we're covering today, and there are European accounts and archaeological evidence to demonstrate significant native village structures here at European contact in the 1600s, 1700s. And as we move later in time, we'll spend a particular segment on historic contact and the impact of European cultures on native peoples and the depopulations that took place, but that's really outside of the time frame that we're talking about today.
Yeah, so we will get to that, Ken. So
I appreciate the question.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. The middle archaic stage, which is from 5,000 to 1,700 BC, that there were several new technologies that came along in that period, were there not?
Well, we start to see the development of groundstone tools, and most of the artifacts that we've talked about on this program and the previous program have been flake stone. Grinding stone tools include axes, adzes, woodworking tools, chisels, gouges, plant processing tools, and those make those first appearances. And those are heavy types of tools, not the types of thing that you'd want to carry two or three in a backpack around with you. So people are starting to stay within a region or a territory probably for longer periods of time, extensive woodworking, along with the development of metal technology. And that's an area that I've done quite a bit of research on. The term old copper industry or old copper complex refers to the best known series or best studied or most studied of archaic cultures in this middle archaic stage. Starting about 4,000 BC, native peoples began to mine copper in the Great Lakes as well as collect copper nuggets, and through hot and cold hammering and grinding, fabricate a variety of tools. And when Europeans first encountered these things, this heavy tool manufacturing ended probably around 500 BC or so, when Europeans and farmers and explorers in Wisconsin came in contact with these things. If you read the early literature, historians, archaeologists thought that they weren't Native American because Native people weren't thought to use extensive metal technology in our region. Today we know that one of the oldest metal technologies in the Americas is centered right here in the state of Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and the Lake Superior Basin, that allowed people to produce a whole variety of tools and use a technology that previously was not available to Native peoples.
And talk a bit about those tools made out of copper.
Nearly pure copper. If you travel up to the Upper Peninsula, the Keweenaw Peninsula, Isle Royale, you could still visit prehistoric Indian mining sites of shafts cut into the bedrock where people mined this copper. The other major source was drift copper that occurred in glacial outwash gravel beds. Whole variety of tools were made, and you can see thousands of them here at the Wisconsin Historical Society in the Hamilton Collection. There's one of the largest collections that's been amassed of these types of tools. All kinds of projectile points, some of which have sockets similar to bayonets, woodworking awls, needles, and very complex fishing gear. One particular type of tool I've spent some time studying are toggle head harpoons. These are conical shaped rolled cones of copper with a barb on the end that would have been placed loosely on a wooden shaft. There's a hole usually in the middle of this fishing harpoon point with a lanyard attached to it, and it would allow someone to spear a fish, pull the shaft out, and pull on this line, and the thing would spin sideways in a large fish. And the type of tool you would need for harvesting large sturgeon, northern pike, large catfish that allowed a resource that previously was not nearly as accessible for Native peoples once these types of fishing tools were developed.
That's amazing. We have a lot of, and we have access to those at the Historical Society.